hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting men fought and died to be. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my countrymen, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and fought and died to be. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You run down my countryman, you walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You run down my countryman, you walking on the right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program. Here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And of course, those are the European founding settler people, the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Republic, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and this, you're on the fighting side of me here on White Resistance. Anyway, so much news today, and one of the things that's very interesting is the exposure of one of our longtime anti-free speech enemies, and that is a person who has been for over 12 years the person behind a website called ARC or Anti-Racist Canada, and it turns out that his name is Kurt Phillips, and Kurt Phillips is a school teacher. School teacher in Alberta, in fact, in Drumheller, Alberta. He works for Catholic School Board, and that information was developed by a reporter for the Rebel Media, Kian Bexty, and there are people asking a lot of questions now. The information actually originally came out in an affidavit, a long affidavit, by a woman named Elise Hadigan. And I mentioned her a couple of days ago in, on my show, who she was. She'd been a short period of time, a member of the White Nationalist Heritage Front back in 1992, 93, that area. And she subsequently turned traitor, testified for the Crown. She had been caught with some, well, fairly hardcore leaflets. She testified against several members of the Heritage Front. They went to jail, and that was the beginning, but not the only reason for the collapse of the Heritage Front in 1994. She has been trading off that ever since, 1994, 2020, we're talking 26 years. She was at that time, I believe, 18. Anyway, she's well into middle age. But she's been trading off that. That's been her claim to fame. And she went completely in the opposite direction. She had, supposedly been a white nationalist. Now she was an anti-racist. I presume she was racially conscious. She'd have to be in the Heritage Front. She's now a lesbian, and she has an Afro-Caribbean an Afro-Caribbean as her lover. Well, anyway, time went on, and she wrote a book called Race Traitor, which probably adequately describes her. Did I mention she'd become Jewish? Well, actually, there's two stories there. She'd become Jewish, or she realized she had been Jewish. Now, this always bothers me. How do you realize you're Jewish? Madeleine Albright, who was a political figure there some time ago, I believe she was in the Clinton administration. She was Secretary of State. She said sometime in her 50s or early 60s, she woke up one day and looked in the and said, "Well, I realized I was Jewish." What do you mean you realized you were Jewish? General Wesley Clark, who was also big back then, he read the Riot Act, the poor little Serbia, and said no country would be allowed to reject diversity. So whether you want it or not, despite the fact you're an independent country, if you want ethnic homogeneity, like a state for Serbians, there's no way you're going to get it, sunshine. Anyway, he too discovered that he was Jewish. I really have problems with that. Don't you know your own family? Now, never mind Wesley Clark or Madeleine Albright, but in this case, of Elise Hannigan. She suddenly discovered some time ago her family was Jewish. Well, actually, they were probably gypsies. You wonder why neither her mother nor her father would ever actually mention that to her. Anyway, she's something of a mixed-up girl. And the purpose of a very long affidavit was that she says that another girl who'd been briefly involved in the Heritage Front, a girl by the name of Elizabeth Moore, had appropriated some of the details about her, that is, Elise's life story, and had, with the connivance of Bernie Farber, who was once the CEO of the Canadian Jewish Congress, he's now a big noise over at the Canadian Anti-Hate Network, had gotten her media interviews, and she had provided information or consultation on a number of shows, and she made some money out of it. She also did some speaking for the Canadian Jewish Congress and others. Anyway, Elise felt that some of the details put out through Elizabeth Moore were really details for her life, so she had appropriated these improperly and so on. Well, I'm in no position to know what the truth is, and or in any position to know how this will succeed in law. But this was all part of a very long affidavit. And what was particularly interesting in this affidavit, which has to do with the anti-racist Blogspot is that Elise Hadigan explained her considerable dealings with this Kurt Kurt Phillips, who is the who writes under the name Nosferatu, which I find interesting. Nosferatu, of course, is a demonic figure, supposedly from Transylvania, the living dead, and all that. And now, Mr. Phillips is a teacher at a supposedly Catholic school. You know, I'm not saying it's exactly Satanism, but it's pretty weird stuff. This name he uses for himself. Well, anyway. she started to explaining her relationship with him, and she says, in part, in my 4 years of friendship with Kurt Phillips, and as part of the ARC collective, I supplied information, such as names and photos of Heritage Front members, took photos and wrote several blog pieces that were posted on the ARC blog. I supported the website and Kurt's sleuthing activities by providing opinions and verbal written support whenever necessary. We advised and confided in each other on numerous occasions, both via email, telephone, and in person, and had conversations that reached far beyond the topics of racism and white supremacy. Kurt also sent me gifts and care packages on multiple occasions. I sent him one package in return, and he contributed financially to my book's fundraising efforts. She brought out a book, self-published a book called Race Traitor, which, of course, very neatly fits her. Apparently, Phillips came to Toronto in 2013, and they went out together. When I say went out, I don't know if I would say date, or it's not clear, but they did, socialize together and ate together and so on. this is all very interesting. Well, as her dispute with Elizabeth Moore heated up, she's been trying to get some sort of compensation or recognition that some of what the persona of Elizabeth Moore is really part of it's based on Elise Hadigan's activities and experiences. Now, I have no way of knowing whether this is true or not. But anyway, somewhere along the line, Kurt Phillips no longer, at least to her liking, backed the claims of Elise Hadigan. And in fact, she then apparently tweeted a denunciation of him, this greatly concerned some of his higher up backers and supporters. And one of her friends is this obese character in the United States named Daryl Lamont Jenkins. He's an obese Negro. Last I heard, he was living with his mother in Philadelphia, and he's demonstrated against and attacked various white nationalist meetings over the years. He's something of a big noise was a big noise in the anti-racist movement. Well, he was a friend of Elise Hadigan's, but he's also a friend of one of the chief mischief makers in Canada in terms of attacking free speech, and that was Ottawa lawyer Richard Warman. Well, apparently Richard Warman urged Daryl Mont Jenkins, at least according to Elise Hadigan, to talk to her or to try to persuade her to take down that tweet that mentioned this operative, the main smear artist or the smear artist behind anti-racist Canada, the website, also called the Blogspot. at that point, she had turned against him. And this is actually, I believe, a couple of years ago. And then in this past summer, she filed this affidavit as part of an action, court action that she's got going against Bernie Farber and Elizabeth Moore. And again, I suggest that it doesn't particularly interest me one way or another. They're all nasty people. Anyway, it turns out that Kurt Phillips is a teacher at a Catholic school in Alberta, in Drumheller, Alberta, which is a very conservative area. And well, now that this has gotten out, and parents are beginning to ask questions, and I would say, and rightly so. Now, I want to say, and this may surprise some people, as much as I think Kurt Phillips is a totally despicable individual, as much as he has caused great harm to me, he has exposed many people, he has published personal photos of me and certain other people, probably, and this remains to be seen, but probably in violation of the criminal code. Despite all the harm he's done, I don't think, I'm not one of those immediately calling for his firing. I'll tell you why. It's not because I have any soft spot in my heart for the sort of things he's done. You know, on the contrary. However, I don't think a person's political actions and beliefs should get them fired if they don't bring those beliefs into the classroom. Now, I come to this idea from very bitter personal experience. I was fired in 1997 after a 25-year career with the Peel Board of Education. Now, I was a teacher, and I had high recommendations. In fact, the director of education called me an exemplary teacher, which means very good, an example, a model, you know, in other words, a good guy. Anyway, the Canadian Jewish Congress, beginning in 1991 and finishing in 1997, took them basically 6 years to get me fired. And it was a long, torturous process, and I probably told this story on a number of times before, so I'm not going to rehearse it again tonight. My argument had always been, and nobody seriously contested this, everybody, it was agreed that I did not teach my political views in the classroom. I was an English teacher, as a matter of fact. I could have, to some extent. You can turn just about anything around to politics in a school, but I didn't do that, although I know many teachers who did. I know outright communists who regaled their students with their views. I know of a Catholic, a senior Catholic teacher who required his grade 13, that was our final year of school back in those days, his grade 13 students to attend peace marches as part of their assignment, required them to. Had I been a parent or a student at that school, I would have been up in arms. Anyway. I never did anything like that. And it was agreed that I hadn't. I didn't bring my views into the classroom. I was an English teacher, an English instructor. Nonetheless, after a six-year battle and many episodes in this battle, I was fired. And I lost my job. I lost my employment. I was married at that time, had a young family. So I was thrown to the wolves, all because of the machinations of several Jewish groups, including the Canadian Jewish Congress at the time and the League for Human Rights of B'nai B'rith. Now, that's not human rights as you and I understand them, of course. And anyway, so as much as it pains me to say this, I am opposed to Mr. Phillips losing his teaching job. Now, this is a big if in capital letters and underlined a few times and so on. If he did not bring his views into the classroom. Did he use the classroom as a soapbox? I don't know. And there's some stuff up on the internet, but you know, it's anecdotal. So did he or didn't he? I don't know the answer to that. That's one consideration. Another consideration, and again, I have no idea what the answer to this would be. Did he use school property to do his research or his writing or whatever? I have no information on that. It's a question, though, that I think the school board should certainly address. And then, thirdly, did he create a poisoned environment? Now, that was something that was alleged against my good friend Malcolm Ross, who was a fellow school teacher. He was in New Brunswick, and he also lost his job, actually just before I did. And his case had gone all the way to the Supreme Court, aspects of his case went all the way to the Supreme Court. And it was alleged by his Jewish critics that Malcolm Ross's very presence had created a poisoned environment. I've always been very, very uncomfortable with that. Now, the person making the accusation was a girl named Attis, A-T-T-I-S. She happened to be the daughter of the head of the Canadian Jewish Congress Atlantic Region. Now, Miss Attis had never been in Malcolm Ross's class. She'd never even been in Malcolm Ross's school. But she claimed that some other students had called her names. Now, did Malcolm Ross tell these students to call her names? No, he didn't even know the students. Whether indeed the instance ever occurred, we don't know. But that sufficed for the New Brunswick Human Rights Commission to determine that Malcolm Ross's very presence in the school, well, at least in the classroom, created a poisoned environment. This is very dangerous territory. But, okay, fair is fair. Did Kurt Phillips' presence in the classroom in this high Catholic middle school in Drumheller, Alberta, did it create a poisoned environment for the children of... Now, it's a very conservative area. There'd be a lot of supporters of the old Reform Party. There would be supporters of the more recent People's Party of Canada, Maxime Bernier, and of the Conservative Party, or at least the conservative wing of the Conservative Party. Anyway, would his presence have created a poisoned environment for them? I don't know. But I certainly think those are the three questions that the Catholic School Board should be looking into. Number one, did this smear artist, who up until the last couple of days had been able to be anonymous for 12 years, had he used his position in the classroom to propagandize students? I don't know, but it's certainly a question that should be asked. Secondly, did he use school property or equipment to do his work? And thirdly, did his presence and behavior create a poisoned environment? I know there are a lot of parents, apparently, from what I can see on the internet, that are very concerned and upset by this. And, the story is ongoing. Well, today he finally fessed up. Well, I guess he didn't have much of an alternative, did he? But... he finally fessed up, and he put something up on the website, and this is what he said, part of what he said. He said, "Well, now I can finally tell you, I'm the one behind the website." So let's see what he has to say. For over 12 years, I have been anonymously tracking neo-Nazis and hate groups and sharing that information on this blog. Well, okay, that's his say-so. Most of the people, in fact, probably with virtually no exceptions, are these people that he has defamed and slandered and written about and mocked over the years, virtually nobody there would say, "I'm a neo-Nazi." That's almost like saying, "Yeah, I'm Kitty Hitler." People don't self-identify as neo-Nazis. I've met the very, very odd one who does. And they usually are very odd. They're usually new to things. Sometimes they're trying to make an impression, make out that they're more important than they really are, and just to show you that I want to be bad, so I may. But by and large, virtually nobody identifies as neo-Nazis. Now, you may say, "Well, aren't there some people who still follow National Socialism?" And yes, there are. But they don't call themselves neo-Nazis for the reason I've explained on a number of times before. Nazi was not something the National Socialists ever called themselves. Nazi is a term of mockery used by the communists back in the 1920s and 30s. And Nazi was based on a short form for the name Ignaz. And Ignaz was your stereotypical country bumpkin or fool, Bavarian country bumpkin. Or in the American terms, you might call them a bubba. Now, as virtually nobody would identify themselves, "Well, I'm a bubba." And because it means, "Well, I'm kind of stupid and backward." Similarly, no self-respecting National Socialist would have called himself an Ignaz or a Nazi. Kurt Phillips rather self-righteously says for 12 years he's been exposing neo-Nazis and hate groups, well, this is actually defamatory as well. A hate group. Well, what's a hate group? Well, I would say a hate group would be a group that has been accused, charged, tried, and convicted under Section 319 of Canada's Criminal Code, or willfully promoting hatred against certain privileged groups. There are virtually no groups like that in Canada. Well, what he means is people whose views on, let's say, on race or historical matters that he doesn't approve of. "I'm proud of my work and stand by its accuracy," he says. He claims he doesn't make things up. I'm not going to read everything he's put out here. But he says, "Well, I knew that one day my identity would become public. We know who's responsible and what they're capable of, so they should just be left alone. I hope that they find." I think he knows who. Well, he was her friend for 4 or 5 years, at least according to Elise Hannigan. I could have said, if anybody bothered to ask me, she betrayed one group she was very strongly involved with. What makes you think she'll hang in there with you? But anyway, not my call. The reasons why I did the work anonymously should now be self-evident. Yeah, because you're a coward. maybe he thinks they're self-evident, but they're self-evident not in a way he probably means. People smear others like this. He claims he's not doesn't approve of violence and so on. That is perhaps an iffy claim, but okay. He claims he doesn't approve of violence. But the type of people, the anti-racists, or the, you know, the Antifa, who are very violent, these people very often wear masks. Why? Well, that's not too complicated either. That they wear masks because they're probably going to do bad things. They're going to punch somebody or hit somebody or block a little old lady trying to get into a political meeting, as happened most disgracefully in Hamilton back there in September of this year. When you're going to do something illegal or bullying and like that, well, of course you want to be anonymous. So I'm not surprised that they're anonymous, but then that's the same with him. He's anonymous because you can say things. If your name isn't exactly isn't attached, well, yeah, you can mouth off and say things that pretty inflammatory or untrue. Anonymity gives a person a great deal of protection. And, you know, if that's the sort of thing you like to do, and that's, of course, what this anti-racist Canada Blogspot has done for a dozen years, mocking people, spreading gossip. I know one of the things I deeply resented that he did was that he suggested that on a number of occasions that many people consider me a patriot for profit, or I ask for donations in meetings and then there would be a picture of me drinking a glass of wine. Well, that's a good example of juxtaposing two things that have nothing to do with each other. The implication is I ask for donations, you know, to help some of the people being attacked for free speech or to promote free speech, but in fact I run off with these people's donations and have a bottle of wine. Now, that is, of course, not only a lie, but it's also mischievous. Anybody involved in politics knows that it's hard to raise money for a whole variety of reasons. A lot of our people are poor, but also, you know, people are cheap. And, you know, if you give people a reason not to give, however slight, it eases their conscience, and they'll say, yeah, okay, I don't want to give because, he's a patriot for profit. He's going to use the money to buy a bottle of wine. And he's done this, trying to create mischief on the right. And, you know, and regrettably, there are a few people who over the years, I think, have bought into that. But that's another matter. Anyway, this is the type of thing that he's done. Let's see what else has he to say. The reason why I did the work anonymously should now be self-evident. I've been subject to a barrage of threats and a campaign of lies by people online. On that note, I would like to set the record straight. Oh, he's been a barrage of threats. Well, I don't know, has he? Let's put it another way. Has anybody actually done anything about these threats? The answer is usually fairly straightforward. No. And people, I say this quite honestly, people have every right over the years to have been very angry and hurt at the nonsense he's put out there, and the mockery, and the damage to reputation, and the doxing of people. Anti-racist Canada was responsible, along with others, for publishing the names and the cities, city addresses, of the 250 some people who signed up with the Canadian Nationalist Party to get them party status and recognition. which was not their perfect democratic right. And in retaliation for this, Bernie Farber, who's with the Canadian Anti-Hate Network, which is the group that Phillips is now formally joining, and others launched a campaign this past year warning people that they would be doxxed, that their names would be put out there, and you know, where they lived, in order to, and urging them that if they recanted, that is, if they wrote to Elections Canada beforehand and said, well, I want to rescind my support for the party, that they would be spared. Well, anyway, when the party was duly registered, these names were put out there, and they were put out there on Anti-Racist Canada Blogspot. So, you know, he was quite prepared to dox people. Now, of course, that's, well, you know, the world has to know if you're a neo-Nazi. Well, first of all, of course, that's a huge leap of faith. The people who signed did not consider themselves, as far as I know, and I know a fair number of them, myself included, as Nazis, neo or otherwise. This was an outrageous interference in democratic freedoms. In Canada, we have something called a secret ballot, precisely so that you don't have to go before your neighbors and declare your political affiliations. Anyway, let's see what else he says. He says he's not a terrorist or a member of any extremist groups. These claims are defamatory, and I'm talking to lawyers. I am, in fact, a human rights activist whose political views are mainstream. Human rights activist. Well, that's what Richard Warman calls himself, too. Trying to deny other people the right to free speech, that's not human rights, in my opinion. I believe by default that every good Canadian is an anti-racist. No, anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. I'm not an anti-racist. Threats are being made, my friends are being collecting evidence and filing criminal complaints. Have they? I've never, nor would I ever, promote acts of violence. So he goes on about that. I've always encouraged critical thinking and free discussion. Well, he says he's a good teacher. I have no way of knowing if that's true or not, but he's quite clearly concerned. I do not target conservatives. Being opposed to racism isn't confined to any side of the political spectrum. Well, he certainly does. I'm a conservative. He targeted me. Over the years, I've focused on bigotry, notwithstanding other political views. Well, almost the only people ever attacked by Anti-Racist Canada Blogspot were, you know, Canadian nationalists. He goes on, says he's meticulous in his research. Again, if somebody's on this blog, there's good reason, you know. And if they're attacking me right now, there's good reason for that too. As of now, I'm leaving the blog, which will continue under new management. You know, all along, although he talks about, they are a collective, a mission statement, a group of diverse but like-minded individuals, the members of Anti-Racist Canada, have come together in their common desire to fight hatred, bigotry, intolerance, and violence because of the harm these antisocial behaviors cause to our society. He talks about this collective. but they're like-minded but diverse. Isn't that contradictory? But anyway, also, though, from time to time, he says he's doing all the work himself, and it's getting so hard. Sometimes he'll be silent for a week. He says he's taking a week off to go fishing or taking a week off to do this or that. A lot of it, you can't believe this. But anyway, apparently it's going to, Anti-Racist Canada is going to continue under somebody else. I'm going to continue my work as a new board member of the nonprofit Canadian Anti-Hate Network. Stay tuned. Graduating to that. And he says, hate groups are more active today than I've ever seen. However, I'm very hopeful about the future, especially seeing the critical and courageous young people growing up today. We will win together. And he signs off. This story is not over. And I know there are a lot of people around Canada tonight that have been looking over the horrific things that have been said about them for years on Anti-Racist Canada Blogspot. Now we know who has done it, this Kurt Phillips, and people are contemplating legal action. I'm not going to say any more because it really is in the opening stages, and I'm very, very much against people making empty threats or promises. We're going to sue. Well, that's something one has to think about. Whether you do that or not, and how you do it. And anyway, but it's good to see one of the nastiest anti-racists now called to account, or at least potentially called to account, for the things he's said and done over the years. And I guess, as they say, stay tuned. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. I'm going to play change the pace a little bit and play a little bit of a man, excuse me, quite a very, very famous father. This, of course, is Hank Williams Jr. And Hank, over the years, developed his own musical style, I would probably call it country rock. A lot of great lyrics, good music. Hope you like it. Here are a few tunes of Hank Williams Jr.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River she could go dry. The interest is up and the stock market's out, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. We make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and the country boy can survive. Country folks. Some beats.
up in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. But you can't stop a sound and you can't make a gun, but what's an old boy and raised on shotgun? You say praise and we say amen, and you ain't in the battle, don't give a damn. We're from North California and South Alabama,
Hank Williams Jr.
My
Father's hand in a rolling storm, but the pressure is on.
This is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. The show's repeated at 8 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever.